Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Welcome to Stuff from the Science Lab from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey guys, welcome to the podcast. This is Allison Loudermilk, the science editor at HowStuffWorks.com.
And this is Robert Lamb, science writer at HowStuffWorks.com.
Today we're going to do the second podcast in our first series. I'm very excited about this series.
Yeah, how things come into being in the universe.
How cosmic bodies get their start.
Yeah, last time we talked, we were discussing stars.
Yep.
Such as our sun. And so we're...
Fine star it is.
It's pretty good. I don't know.
But today we're going to change the topic. And today we're talking about planets.
Yeah.
Let's just talk about planets for a sec here. A quick definition, maybe.
A planet is a big body that revolves around the sun in a solar system.
In our solar system, specifically. Yeah. IAU spelled it out even more at that 2006 meeting when they booted Pluto. Do you remember this? It was a big deal
when Pluto got booted. Yeah, everybody made a huge deal of it. Countless songs were written about it.
Like what?
What's his name has one?
DJ Roomba?
No, not DJ. That was a separate podcast joke. No, the rapper. It's a really cool track. Bring Back Pluto.
I have no idea what you're talking about. All I can think of is Diggable Planets.
Is that about Pluto?
No, that was just the, I'm cool like that, I'm chill like that. You know, remember that song?
I know that song.
Okay, it was kind of 1990s. So anyway, the IAU spelled it out at their 2006 meeting. And they decided that in order to qualify as a planet, it wasn't just going to be a size game anymore. You have to orbit the sun, of course. You have to have enough gravity to develop into a sphere.
Okay, yeah, Pluto's a sphere.
Yeah, yeah. But here's where Pluto gets knocked out of the park. According to an article in Universe Today by Fraser Kane, he said that Pluto would have to have cleared the neighborhood of its orbit. So what they're just saying here is that Pluto would have had to either sucked in surrounding bodies or knocked them away. And sorry, Pluto, you couldn't do that.
Too much of a loner.
So if we were just looking to our now eight planets to figure out how planets form, we wouldn't have a whole lot of candidates for, you know, developing theories and all sorts of stuff. So we've started to look to exoplanets, too.
Yeah, and that's one of the real key things about studying these very distant worlds is that our understanding of solar systems and how they work and planetary formation – we base it on the model that we have closest at hand, which is our solar system.
Which is logical.
Yeah. But you know, eventually you need to throw some more models in there so you know what is possible, you know? It's like if you were like a lonely guy trying to figure out how, you know, women work and you only knew one girl, you know, you might get a pretty clear idea of how she works, but, you know, there are a lot of different ladies out there.
Yeah, I'm tempted to probe this, but I won't get into questions about your love life because we talk about science here.
That's
this
right.
is not the love line.
And women defy science.
Indeed, they do. Yes. Do women defy logic?
Some would say that.
So scientists need more data points, right, to figure out how planets form. So they look to exoplanets. Specifically, they have about 453 exoplanets as of right when we went into
Cinco de Mayo.
As of Cinco de Mayo. And actually, this is what Kepler is doing, by the way, looking for exoplanets in the Milky Way.
The first exoplanet was actually discovered by a radio astronomer at Penn State by the name of Dr. Alexander Wolfsakan.
I was waiting for you to try to say his last name. He has a crazy last name. When did he discover it?
About 94. However, the body was rotating around a dead star or a pulsar.
Right. So this wasn't very exciting.
Well, I mean, it's exciting.
Well, it was exciting, but it wasn't entirely what
we'd hoped
for. It's
not the kind of place you want to hang out. I mean, the sun's dead there.
Yeah. Yeah. So exoplanets fall roughly into two categories. You have worlds like our own, which are called, appropriately enough, Earth-like planets or mm-hmm. terrestrial planets. And then you have the gas giants, like Jupiter, say.
Yeah.
And there are a whole lot fewer Earth-like planets around. But we'll come back to these categories in a sec.
Oh, and of course, the other value in finding exoplanets, especially those Earth-like exoplanets, is that we could one day possibly move there once we've totally used up this planet.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah. In fact, I mean, a lot of people point out that that's going to be key to the long-term survival of the human race.
Such as your new favorite idol, Stephen Hawking?
Well, he's everybody's idol.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. He is. So now that we've covered the basics of planets and exoplanets, let's do a little flashback to roughly 4.5 billion years ago. So set the stage, RL. What was the state of our solar system a few billion years back?
Well, our sun was a fledgling protostar, still trying to pack in enough matter so that it could get the gravity cranked up, get that nuclear fusion going, and, you know, start actually doing some solar business. Everything else, just basically a big rotating cloud of particles called a solar nebula.
So no planets per se?
No. Just cosmic dust.
Mere twinkles in the universe's eye.
Dust in the wind, except not really wind yet. That's coming, though.
Right, it is coming. So with the formation of the sun, the remaining gas and dust was free to flatten into a rotating protoplanetary disk.
Yeah.
And then within the swirling debris, you get your rocky particles. They're starting to get all restless. They do some colliding. They're forming larger masses that soon attracted even more particles via gravity. Gravity is everybody's friend in this scenario.
Right, and this is the same process that you see in most cosmic formation theories, accretion, where little particles are drawn together to become bigger particles, which then collide with other like-sized particles. And it's just like the snowball going down the mountain, basically.
Right. So some of these particles start to contract under gravity to create bodies called planetesimals, which then collide with other planetesimals to become the solid inner planets. And this is called the planetesimal hypothesis. Meanwhile, what's going on with the gas giants?
The gas giants actually come into being because you have gases that are frozen out there, and they're colliding with each other. They're forming these big, giant balls of frozen gas, and eventually those become the gas giants in the outer orbits.
So why did the gas giants get the shaft? Why did they get relegated to the outer bounds of our solar system?
Well, the theory is the wind. I said the wind was coming back, specifically the solar wind, and this is not wind as you know it on Earth, but
it's plasma.
It's a steady flow of plasma that emanates from a star. We have it today, but back in the ye old days of the solar system, it was a lot stronger, strong enough to blast the lighter elements such as hydrogen and helium away from the inner orbits. So, you know, they're blasted away, right? And the farther they get away from the sun, the less solar wind there is to propel them, all right? And then they get drawn into the gas giants, the growing gas giants, which adds to their gravity and makes them more gaseous than the inner planets.
Right, and then they're also pretty far away from the sun, so they get kind of cold, right?
Yes, everything chills back down for them.
And that's a nice theory, but not so fast, because back in 1995, there was a little tweak.
This goes right back to what we were talking about earlier, about how our solar system is the closest, best model for us to base all these theories on. But then we discover some sort of exoplanets doing something a little different, and it throws the theory into question, forces us to tweak it.
Right. So this particular exoplanet that messed with the theory was 51 Pegasi b, and it was a hot Jupiter that orbited very close to its sun. So what do we mean by a hot Jupiter?
A sexy planet. No, it's like a Jupiter-esque planet, big gas giant, but it's close to the sun. It's in the inner orbit.
Right. It's not in the outer orbit like you might expect.
So they were like, whoa, how'd that happen? And so this new theory is that a planet like that still forms in the outer orbit and then moves into the closer orbit.
Right. Thanks to something called orbital migration. And orbital migration concerned me at first because I was thinking, well, shoot, what if our planets weren't in fixed orbitals? You know, what if Jupiter was migrating across the solar system and bam, was going to slam right into Earth and we would be gobbled up and consumed and cast into thousands of parts and orbiting around the sun haphazardly. That would kind of stink. But no. Orbital migration in this sense is a finite process.
Yeah, it's part of the formation of that solar system.
And it stops.
Yeah. Our solar system for now, pretty stable.
Yeah, definitely pretty stable.
So there you have it, from dust to a planet. That's the basic genesis without getting into, more specific planetary formation situations with the forming of a crust, et cetera.
All we are is dust in the wind, Robert. Or dust in the solar nebula.
Cosmic dust in the solar wind. No, it really is fast. I mean, it sounds cliche and kind of like some sort of a hippie space song. But, I mean that dust that was, in the primordial universe. I mean, we're essentially that, matter can't be created or destroyed. So it's who we are.
It's trippy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, if you want to trip out in some more interesting articles, go to the homepage. We've got all sorts of stuff like Robert's new article on how planets form or doing some planet hunting or the search for extraterrestrial intelligence or even the Drake equation. Did you ever read that? I love the Drake equation.
Yeah. Drake equation's great. Probably my favorite equation. We also have a Facebook now, Facebook account.
We sure do.
Yep. You can search for that under Stuff from the Science Lab. And if you go on Twitter, you can find us under Lab Stuff.
Robert is really short.
Yeah.
Robert's really rocking us out on Twitter these days.
Yeah. We're trying to update it pretty regularly with our, links to new articles, links to outside articles that we think are pretty groovy and just random stuff that comes up. Oh, and we have viewer mail.
Listener mail.
We don't have viewers per se.
We do have listener mail, and this comes to us from Rico on the island of Hawaii.
Yeah, this is the big island.
Yeah. And Rico writes, "Hello, science podcasters Allison and Robert. My name is Rico, and I live on the big island of Hawaii. I haven't been to the volcano park yet. I just moved here 5 months ago from Illinois." That's quite a move from Illinois to Hawaii.
Yeah.
"First off," he says, "I would trade Vogue any day for fog." Perhaps I should enunciate that a little bit more. "I would trade Vogue with a V any day for fog. Vogue isn't cool at all. It's so bad here, you can't even see the ocean that's 7 miles away. Can't see the Kohala Mountains from Waikoloa. Fog is horrible, and it just messes up the beauty of Hawaii and sometimes gives you bad headaches."
That's awesome. I mean, not the headaches.
Rico also writes, "Well, thanks for reading my ramble. I had to write this at 10 p.m. after I listened to the podcast. And for the second time, Vogue is horrible and isn't better at all. Fog is the best. Signed, Rico." That's so cute.
Yeah. And again, Vogue, is, of course, volcanic fog.
Right. So this pertained to the Death by Volcano podcast that we just did a couple weeks ago.
Well, Rico, I have to tell you, hit that Volcano National Park as soon as possible because that place is amazing. Like, seriously, like I went there years and years ago, and like you can like basically walk under a rainbow in a crater. You can look down in a crater and there's a rainbow underneath you. It's crazy. It's like being on another planet.
Yeah, but maybe it's not so great if you live there all the time like Rico.
That's the thing about living in Hawaii. From my buddy moved out there originally, and he ended up he was there for a couple of years, but then he came back. I mean, it's rough living on an island.
Yeah, even if you do know how to surf.
Even if it is awesome.
So thanks for writing, Rico. We really like hearing from listeners. And if you want to send us an email about Hawaii or robots or Vogue or even the birth of a planet, send us an email at sciencestuff@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com. Want more How Stuff Works? Check out our blogs on the howstuffworks.com homepage.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.